This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and this is Mo Betta Blues, the title song from the 1990 movie. This is actor Wesley Snipes on saxophone. At least that's what Hollywood would have you believe. The musical performance was actually by the jazz legend Branford Marsalis. This weekend, the Branford Marsalis Quartet, in its 38th year, will play Urbana, Illinois, at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Last week, Marsalis talked with my Illinois public media colleague, Kimberly Schofield, about his life and music.
Branford, thank you so much for joining me. You came from a family of musicians. Did you always know that you wanted to be a musician, or was there ever a pivotal moment that kicked you into gear?
I always knew I wanted to play music, but I never thought that I'd become a professional musician. That was mostly Wynton, who fervently believed he was going to go to New York and shock the world, and he pretty much did.
Yeah.
I'm a year older than him, so when I graduated from high school, I went to a historically black college in Louisiana, Southern University, and I marched in the band, and I was studying to become a history teacher. And I was just going to teach history and play with a wedding band on the weekends, because I love playing.
Yeah.
But I didn't have any aspirations to leave the state. And when Wynton got to New York, he just constantly bothered me with, man, you need to be up here. You don't need to be down there. You know, you can learn how to play jazz easy. You got great gifts, blah, blah, blah. And I really wasn't interested. And my dad says to me, I'm not going to tell you what you should do. He says, but what I will tell you is that you don't want to be in your 30s with a couple of kids sitting around wondering if you could have done it.
Yeah.
So when he said that, I came up with a plan. I said, great, I'll go to the Berklee College of Music first, because it's in Boston. It's not as expensive as New York.
Mm-hmm.
Work, save some money, and go visit Wynton in New York and do these things.
And then you immediately got a job at the Lionel Hampton Orchestra when you graduated?
Well, no. That's actually funny. I was at Berklee, and I went home for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And the Lionel Hampton Orchestra was playing in New Orleans, and the tenor player couldn't make it. So someone in the band who knew my dad from way back said, well, Ellis Marsalis used to play tenor. We should ask him. So they called my dad, and I could hear him on the phone going, what? No, I don't do that anymore. But my son Branford's in town, and he'll do it. Yeah, so I played with the band for a week. The manager came to me. I used to wear overalls all the time, and he was kind of like, oh, here comes this country bumpkin, you know? And he says, well, son, how old are you? I said, I'm 20 years old. He said, can you read? I said, yes, I can. He said, perfectly? I said, very few can read perfectly. Because, well, this is the Lionel Hampton Orchestra, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, who are you? He says, I'm Bill Titone. I'm the manager. I said, well, look, I don't tell you how to manage. Don't try to tell me how to play.
There you go.
And he had it out for me right at that point.
Mm-hmm.
The first gig we did, Titone says, I want to hear that kid play a solo. And Hamp liked it, and he couldn't stand it. So after a week, he fired me anyway.
No.
And he says, and believe me, once you finally get to the big city, because he thought I still lived down there, mm-hmm, I'll personally see to it that you never work in New York. You're through. I'm like, yeah, okay, man.
We'll see about that.
2 years later, Hamp's band was opening up for Wynton's band, and Terrence Blanchard was playing in Hamp's band. I said, Terrence, where's Titone? He goes, oh, no, man, leave it alone. I said, no, I got to do it, man. And I walked up to him, and I said, hey, Mr. Titone, how are you doing? Remember me? And it just drove him crazy. He says, oh, you made it. That's great, kid. I'm happy for you. I said, yeah, I just wanted to say hi. I'll see you later. And Terrence says, as soon as you left, he says, I can't stand that kid.
You've done a lot of different things. You've composed for movies, you've hosted shows, and of course, you are a renowned saxophonist. Do you have a preference?
I'm a player. I have this thing. My dad used to have this saying, the thing you do most is the thing you do best. I just wrote this piece, a suite for the Kalamazoo Symphony, 20 minutes for orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
So then people say, well, now you're a composer. I said, well, no, I've written a composition, but I'm not a composer. And then they said, well, what's the difference? I said, composers compose. Composers don't do TV shows, play with pop stars, and work with Public Enemy, and play with a band and go on to it. They just compose. And I know we're in this era where everything is kind of hybridized. Musicians always call themselves a musician slash composer. Yeah. It's kind of, it cheapens the title. If you write 16 bar songs, you're not a composer, you're a songwriter.
Yeah.
But composer sounds more noble than songwriter. So we go with composer. So it's just like we're in this thing where the optics matter more than everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, listening to as much classical music as I have and having as much love and respect for composers that I have, it's not a place I can go.
With your whole family being musical, when you all went on tour together, were there any challenges or did you all just have one big happy family flow together?
Man, we just a bunch of jackasses, so it really was fun. My dad was brilliant with this. When Wynton started playing the trumpet, I was playing piano and I hated playing the piano. So when Wynton joined the school band, I said, if I join the school band, it'll get me off this damn piano, so I'll do anything. So he says, well, what instrument do you want to play? I said, trumpet. And then he said, no, leave it to my dad. No, Einstein says that the same matter can't occupy the same space at the same time or chaos ensues. I'm like, seven. I'm like, what? What? No, you can't play the trumpet. You have to pick another instrument. How about clarinet? Okay. So I played the clarinet. And then when I was 14 years old, it's like I started noticing like girls are really beautiful creatures and I should pursue them. So I saw these three pretty girls and I followed them into a dance and I was too terrified to meet them. So I said, I get it. If I join one of these bands, I'll meet girls. So I went home and said, I want an alto saxophone. So at Christmas, I got an alto saxophone.
Nice.
As soon as I got the saxophone, I hired a much better keyboard player to join the band. And I played saxophone. And in all of that, what I learned was that the girls are attracted to the singers and the guitar players. And I still never got the girls. But still, now I was stuck with this saxophone. And I might as well just play it. So many, many years later, back to your question, yeah, we're on tour. And it's still pretty much like that. We don't play the same instrument. So there's no competition. Wynton plays trumpet. I play saxophone. Delphio plays trombone. Jason plays drums and vibes. Old man play piano. We just had a good time.
What do you think about jazz currently in the 21st century? What does it look like to you?
The same thing as everything else. The optics matter. Everybody's a jazz musician now. You know, guys are playing in R&B bands talking about their jazz bona fides. Again, it's not really pejorative to me. You know, some guys get upset about it. I mean, I don't get upset about it, but I see it and I observe it. You know, the word jazz, the MacArthur Genius Grants, in the Jazz Award, they give the awards to the people who they think are moving jazz farther. And the one thing that they all have in common is that they are woefully not adept at playing traditional jazz. So jazz needs to move to a place where it no longer recognizes itself. And then other people can get awards for preserving. But so the Jazz Award is always, it always bends towards people who have a certain kind of mathematical understanding of the music. It's almost like a sin to play traditional music. None of this upsets me. I don't care. Because the general level of music and musical incompetence out here when it comes to jazz has allowed our band to work a lot. Usually at my age, we don't work as much. If you look at jazz in the 40s and the 50s, the guys who were lauded in the 80s, in their 60s or 70s, had a drop off in the middle because new young guys came up and like they were pushed aside for the up and coming players. These young guys, they're all great players. This is probably the best generation of players ever. It's incredible how well they play the instrument. They just don't play the music very well. And that's because they never really tried to check it out. There is a jazz language. And the language of jazz is not harmony. The language of jazz is jazz. And there are some young people in New York that I've met now where they're starting to understand that the language of jazz is actually jazz. So it's not all about harmonic exploration.
the reason that people struggle with liking jazz is that harmonic analysis has no personality. It doesn't have a sound, it doesn't have a beat, it doesn't have a feeling. So if your knowledge of jazz is solely based on harmony, then you will become really harmonically competent. But the music always has a thing that's missing. So when regular people listen to jazz and tell me, every time I listen to jazz, it always sounds the same. It does. It sounds the same sonically because the musicians haven't spent enough time trying to listen to the sound of jazz by listening to the earlier people. So we have all these bizarre rules that guys say, man, you know, you should be able to play an F sharp. I'm like, why? Why should I be able to play an F sharp? Well, man, don't you want to grow? If you're playing scales and patterns, then F sharp, A, G, it's all the same. It all sounds the same. We just invent this. We invent all these absurd rules, which makes the music more introverted and more further away from people. Songs should be happy. Songs should be sad. Songs should be angry. That's when we become magicians. I just want to be competent.
Right.
I want to be a competent jazz musician where if I fell into a time machine and it was suddenly like, you know, 1943, the musicians wouldn't say, man, get the fuck off the stage. You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Whereas if a lot of guys that played now fell into that time machine, they'd be kicked off the stage almost immediately. Yeah, there's no like specific people where I'm like, I'm really angry at the way they play. It's just a thing that's out here. New York is full of these guys. You can see the videos all over the place. Guys are playing. And if you really try to listen to the music sonically, the songs always go to the same place emotionally because nobody's thinking about emotion. They're just thinking about harmonic competency and technical virtuosity. And they are technical virtuosos. They play the saxophone better than me. But there's certain things that I'm not willing to invest time in, especially as I get older and I have less of it. But like, you know, spending 2 months learning how to play a song in a complicated key just seems ridiculous to me since the audience wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah.
So now what I'm doing is I'm playing to impress other musicians, which defeats the whole purpose of playing music in the first place. Music is about people. It's not about itself. But what I notice with a lot of people, it's the inverse for them. Music is about itself. And I was talking to a guy talking about a set list. I said, yeah, I'm not playing any of that. And he says, why not? I said, the people won't dig it. And he says, well, man, let me ask you a question. Who do you play for yourself or for the people? I said, for the people. That's very interesting. I said, yeah, I can play for myself in the living room. But you think that people should pay money to watch you celebrate yourself. That's really interesting. Come to my concert. Oh, and you, by the way. Give me $25 to watch me show you the thing that I've worked on that you can't possibly understand. Well, that's the winning formula right there, boy.
That it is. Well, what can we expect then when you come to Krannert? You're going to play for the people. Is everyone going to play for the people when you come to Krannert here in Urbana?
Man, we're going to play the most complicated music in the world. We're going to like stare down at them like they're roaches.
Yeah.
No, first of all, people generally hear music with their eyes.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it.
It is like a spectacle more than...
Yeah. I mean, which is why the operative verb for concert going is see, not hear.
Mm-hmm.
People go to concerts, they say, I'm going to see blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's true.
They never say, I'm going to hear blah, blah, blah.
Never thought of that.
Yeah, well, yeah. I have to teach these kids. I have to hook all this stuff up, man. Teaching these college kids, you got to, you know. But it's like one of those things I notice. When you think about how a lot of modern jazz players look when they play, yeah, you know, it's kind of boring to look at them. They're real introverted. You know, they all wear like black t-shirts and black pants. And, you know, it's just, they're all soft-spoken. But we're the opposite of that. We wear sharp suits and wear buns. And we are truly like, I don't know if it's going to be the whole band for that gig. I hope so. We're just four jackasses, really. We tease each other incessantly on stage. We laugh a lot. We enjoy what we're doing. So even if you're not the biggest jazz fan in the world, we might play a complicated song, but we always follow it with a song that has a melody that's easy to follow because we like jazz.
Yeah.
We don't think of jazz as a vehicle to like highlight our own genius. We just like playing. We're players. And we play fast songs and slow songs and pretty songs and ugly songs and hard tunes and easy tunes. It's great to be in a band with that kind of musical versatility.
Branford Marsalis, in conversation with my colleague, Kimberly Schofield. His quartet is scheduled to perform 7:30 p.m. Saturday at the Krannert Center, Urbana. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk Monday.